Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
If you want to open to Genesis chapter 1, I'll begin there in just a second. I'm going to review real quick. And then, actually, you can go to Genesis 1 and then we'll pray. I am believing God. Now, this is going to sound a little bit self-serving, but it's not. I am believing God that we will have, and not just through me, but through anybody who teaches and ministers, just some just rich illumination, revelation, truth. You know what I mean? Out of this church. In other words, the scripture says in Psalms that the entrance of his word gives light. The entrance of his word gives light. The scripture says in Ephesians, Paul prayed for the Ephesian church. He said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. Okay? It's even that scripture that Tessa read during worship. There is something about this earth, and it's called sin, that darkens how we see things. And the truth is, of course, found in the scripture. It is Jesus, but it is the word of God. And when that word comes to you, it brings light to you. Now, you don't open your Bible and it's like a flashlight. You know, you can't carry it around in the dark. But it's a spiritual light, and it helps you see things as God sees them, rather than just seeing them the way everybody else sees them. Does that make sense? I work a secular job, and I work with a lot of unsaved people, which I love because I get to be a light. And I listen to them talk, and you can tell they're just wandering through life trying to feel if something's there, because they have no anchor in their life. I work with a particular person, and he was talking to me about different relationships that he's had and all these issues that he's had in relationships and families and different things like that. And then he starts to tell me how he wished he had a family with him, and that would be his answer. In other words, if I could find just the right girl, if I could find just the right family, I want a family. No. You need to find God first. How many people go from relationship to relationship to issue, and they just keep going in circles? It's a different face. It's a different hairstyle. It's a different, but it's the same problems over and over and over. Why? They're walking in darkness. They just don't know any other way. So what I'm taking the long way around here, but what I'm believing God for is that as we come together every Sunday, that we'll believe God together to give us insight into his word by the Holy Spirit that will just unlock realms of light and truth in our lives. Because whatever is unlocked to you, you take with you. You take it with you. Well, my family's a mess. I'm not interested in your family and the mess they're in. I'm interested in you getting unmessed. We all have messes. We're all dealing with something at some level. But God has a way of taking that mess and turning it into a masterpiece. You can't think of that stuff, can you? It just like comes out. But he can take your mess and turn it into a masterpiece. Have you ever seen, this is, if you look at that banner up there, this is not a great example, but have you ever seen like a rug or something that's been woven together like about that size? If you look on the back of it, where all the strings and everything are tied together, you can't tell what it is. But if you look on the front of it, it looks exactly like what it's supposed to be. And that's what God does with our lives. On the back side of it, it doesn't look good. But when he gets through, it's perfection. But that only comes through him. So we have to believe together and come together and believe. So let's pray and just release faith from your own heart. You say, what do you mean by that? I'll say it to you like this. Expect that you're going to get something. You don't know how much that helps the preacher. Oh my goodness. It's night and day. You ever been in a service? You ever been in a service? It just feels like, what? Where did God go? It's not God. It's us. We're just not expecting. Jesus is a gentleman. He won't just come in and go, okay, I'm just going to move here. No. He's a gentleman. He'll go, he's always ready to move. That's not the issue. It's just, are we hungry? You know? And so sometimes you got to kind of shake off the tired and shake off the mess that you went through during the week and just go, okay, God, let's get this. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence here, Lord. You're so faithful to meet us every single week and minister to us, not only in worship by your Spirit. Lord, we just thank you. And I'm going to declare this because I just see it in my heart. Lord, that you're just taking worship in this place to another level. Father, that you are helping us cooperate with you to be able to give you a space where you can land with your presence. Lord, we will believe together for those who don't know how to believe. And when they come into this atmosphere, they won't know why, but just the problems, the change, the depression, all those things will melt away. And then the word will come, Lord. Their hearts will be prepared by the softening of your Spirit and the presence of your Spirit through the manifest presence of inhabiting the praises of your people. And then the word will come and plant seed into soft ground and continue to develop people to where they are changed, not only or having a real experience with you, not only on Sunday or on church day or whenever we gather, Lord, but every day of the week. Father, that we will become those who experience life in Christ. Holy Spirit, you're our teacher. So we yield to you. Teach us. Speak to us. Say what you want to say through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm just going to review real quick, and then Genesis chapter 1. Is where you're at, but I'm not going to start there. This is some of the things that the Lord has shown us in the past 6 weeks. One was Luke 6, 47 and 48. You can write it down. Don't turn there, though, because I'll be going too quick. You have to have fast fingers. But talking about building your life on the Word and building your house on the foundation of the Word, which is done by hearing and doing. We looked at John chapter 14, where Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We looked at John chapter 20, verse 17, where God is revealed to us as a Father. One of the things that the Lord said to me in that time was, thinking and speaking of God as our Father helps destroy the separation that sin and Satan try and place between us. Thinking of God, not just as God, but as Father, destroys what the enemy tries to do in separating us from him. That's his goal. John chapter 8, verse 42 through 44, we talked about how it mentions that not everybody has God as their Father, but those that are born again. Luke chapter 15, verse 20, we talked about God being a Father of compassion, and we saw that through the passage that he forgave the older and the younger son, that God is good, and the degree of his goodness that we experience is directly proportionate to our faith exercised in his goodness. All, we looked at in Luke chapter 15, where the Father said to the Son, all that is mine is yours. All that I have is yours. We talked about how we need to make that a confession. Everything that the Father has is mine. Everything that the Father has is mine. Now, everything in society is going to tell you opposite of that. No, God doesn't love you. Look what you've done wrong. No, I'm blameless. Because I'm not standing in my righteousness. The law, I read this morning in some of my notes from class on righteousness, but the law laid down what we needed to do to be right before God. The gospel laid down what God did to make us right. You realize God's love? You think about it. The standard God set was so high that he knew only he could fulfill it. And it was the perfect avenue for him to express his love to you. Whew. You see that? That is amazing. His love is so far beyond. We do not get it. We don't get it. But here's the thing. You know, I hear people say, and there's a truth in this statement, but I don't want to leave it like, you know, like there's no hope of ever knowing. People, you know, we sing songs, how will we ever know the love of God? Well, if we believe to see it, we will. And to experience it. That's what God said through the epistles. The revelation that Paul had about the resurrection of Christ. Think about it. He wrote all these letters to the church about how we're in Christ. We're in him. We have his ability living in us. But if you read through those epistles carefully, Paul makes the statement, I'm writing this down so that you can understand it. I'm not writing it down so that I can just share this amazing experience where I got knocked off my donkey and blinded for 3 days. And you know what I mean? He didn't just share those things just so he could say, I went to heaven and you guys didn't. You know what I mean? What's the point? Well, good for you. How does that help us? No, he makes sure by the Holy Spirit to express the Father's heart in that the Lord was saying, look, I know Paul experienced this revelation, but he didn't experience it for him. He experienced it for you. Jesus didn't just say, look, I beat death. He beat it for you. You see that? Gives it a whole different perspective. Then your heart can go, okay, I'm going to receive this. And on Monday, when you don't feel like it, you need to say, all that the Father has. And then when a bill comes that you didn't expect, you need to say, all that the Father has. It's mine. Why are you smiling like that? That guy's nuts. No, he's in faith. I mean, you think about Paul. Shipwrecked, beat, put in prison, whipped. I mean, we don't even know all the times he was shipwrecked. It was more than once. And what did he say? Count it all joy, my brethren. We got the victory. What? That's because he has a perspective that is outside of this world. And he could continue to live and continue to live and continue to live and continue to increase and progress, not just only in the blessings of God in the natural, but in the greater blessings of the spiritual knowledge of who God is in you. Those are huge truths that we just haven't seen yet, but we will. So that was a lot on the introduction. Okay. Psalms 86:5, we talked about last week. We talked about that our Father God is ready and willing and desiring to forgive. He desires to forgive. We talked about some of the things that are going on in the earth. You know, there's a at the risk of being political, there's a whole section of even what we would call conservatives or Republicans, and it goes on both sides, that want people to pay for everything they do. And God's heart is, I want to pay for you. You see that? Do you see what I'm saying, though? In regards to that, God's heart is not, he doesn't want to see ISIS in hell. The same blood that was shed for them, or for us, was shed for them. Same blood. Same blood. You know, I had somebody say to me, they were talking about, in this, like racism and stuff like that, and they were making statements, and I said, look, we all bleed red. Hating for somebody for their different skin color is like hating somebody for different hair color. It just doesn't make sense. Well, I can't be friends with you. Your eyes are brown. Mine are blue. It's not compatible. No. But you could have the same blood type. And it wouldn't matter if you were African American, Native American, or just white. Just really white. You know what I mean? Norwegian and Scottish and Irish and... Yeah, all that stuff. Exactly. I mean, it wouldn't make a difference if we have the same blood type. You could save my life, or vice versa. Isn't that interesting? None of those things matter. But yet the world wants to fight over everything. Now, there is judgment in the sense of people can be judged if they just absolutely hate and refuse God. Sure they can. But that's not God's will. The scripture says in Ezekiel, he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. None. It grieves him. Why? Because he paid for their redemption. He just didn't pay for the sins of half the world. He paid for all of them. You don't have a sin problem. You have a sinner problem. There's the little thing called will inside of you. And it's free will. And we decide, I believe or I don't. So the rejection of the Lord is serious. It is the sin that sends people to hell, which was created for who? Satan and his angels, right? It wasn't created for us. So I'm not going there. It doesn't have my name on it. So Jesus forgives when we repent. Jesus is the image of God in the earth. Jesus' blood is more powerful than any sin. Our Father releases our sin and lets it go, and he never brings it back to us again. He doesn't bring it up. People say, well, these thoughts keep coming to me. They're not from God. If you repented, it's not from God. And it's the enemy. He's accusing you, but you're blameless. I mean, that song is so awesome. It's just so well put together, too. But you're blameless. So let's go to, I'm going to talk about the faithful provider. God is the image of God, faithful provider. Genesis chapter 1. We'll go there. I'm going to do a little bit of reading here, but it'll be good. And when we read this, I guess my main point in reading this is I want you to see why God did it and what he called what he created. Okay? Because we're getting the image of God. The image of God is important to us. There are four foundational things that need to be inside of you to be strong as a Christian and be stable. We've talked about them. But it's knowing the Father, knowing who you are, or knowing your enemy, knowing who you are in relationship to your Father. And what's the last one? Worship. No, actually, I think that's the third one. The last one is, maybe it is the last one. But how to worship your Father. So those four things. So knowing your Father, knowing your enemy, knowing who you are in relationship to your Father, and knowing how to worship your Father. Okay? So we're talking about knowing your Father first. So Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says this, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was out without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. You know, people talk about that, you know, the Big Bang Theory and all that stuff. You know, you've heard about evolution, obviously. And they don't know how everything started, so they have the Big Bang Theory. And they get this idea, people have this idea that something cannot be created from nothing. Well, that's true. But just because something is invisible doesn't mean it's nothing. Does that make sense? Okay. So keep that in mind, because God didn't create the earth out of nothing. It's not substanceless. It was created out of the substance that he is. He created it. But substance doesn't have to be seen to be substance. Go like this and see if you feel the air. It doesn't mean you can't see it, but is it there? Oh yeah, it's there. It's there. Gravity? What about gravity? Thank God for gravity. We'd be all in the ceiling up there. Yes. So, but it just because it's not seen doesn't mean it's not there. So, and God saw the light, look at this, and that it was good. Okay? So it was good. Now this word good is used 563 times in the Old Testament alone. Okay? And the word means beautiful. It means best. Better. Some of these words that describe it are just amazing. It means fine. It means pleasant. It means loving. That's interesting. So God created the light, and the light was loving. That's pretty good. It means, this is interesting, it means precious. It means prosperity. It means sweet. It means wealth. One of the definitions that I looked up, it means best. Now, I want you to see this and think about this, because this is God's nature. This is before, let's keep in mind, this is before Satan ever got into the earth, okay? And God created everything, and he said, that is good. Or in other words, he looked at it and he said, that is the best. That is the best. So what are we getting a picture into? We're getting a picture into how God does things. He does it with the best. Does that make sense? Okay. So verse 5 said, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. I think that's interesting. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So evening and morning were the second day. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was the best. God sat back and said, I'm the best. Look at that. That is good. I am the best. Now, if you look at just the creation, now see, there's some tree huggers, there's some go green type people that love the planet, and they see the value even in its fallen state of the planet. But they get their understanding or perspective wrong on it because they think somehow the planet is better than them. And why do they have that perspective? Very simply, because they don't believe in a God who created it. They think that it evolved and that we came from it. You know, America's not the only culture that has that. There's cultures all around the world that believe those type of things. But the reality is that when you understand creation and that he created the best for his creation, humanity, it takes on a whole different meaning. Does that make sense? So in other words, don't just look at the creation and go, that's a nice tree. Understand that God planted the tree for you. Does that make sense? Understand that your value, why would God put the best in there? Because he knew you were coming. Come on, think with me. He knew you were coming. Now I'm going to get down to some verses in here, and it gets better and better and better and gooder. You know what I mean? Gooder. All right? So why did God create the best? Not just because he is the best, because he wanted to give you the best. And we've proven already that the natural things are not that big a deal because he already gave us his son. We saw that in Romans 8, right? Verse 37 talks about he didn't withhold his own son. So how will he not also with him freely give you all other things? And you'll hear people harp, oh no, we don't need any of this world's goods. Yes, you do. I'm thankful you have clothes on today. Don't give me, will you think that the best clothes were created for the drug dealers and prostitutes? Come on. Ooh, I felt the in there. Like people have to think about it. Was it created for those who are out, abusing people in the sense of, you know, robbing from people, not paying them what they should be paid? What were those things? What was the earth created for? The earth and everything in it was created for you and for me. Now, we're not going to keep out the drug dealers and the prostitutes. We'll let them come in and be a part of what God's doing if they'll receive Christ. But what was it created for? It was created for you. Now, that's easier heard than lived. It's much easier heard than it is walked out, because you, again, are fighting everything that you've experienced in your life that was contrary to that word. Everything. But at some point, there has to be something inside you that just goes, nope, I don't care what I feel, I don't care what I see, this is what I will have. That very simple statement is faith, right there. So when everything else comes and it still hasn't lined up with the word, you go, nope, nope, nope. Oh, by his stripes is healed. I was healed. Okay, yep. You can come in. Well, God might not do it this time. Nope. You're not welcome. You need to see your life like there's a door in front of it and things are coming to you and knocking. Knock, knock, knock. Depression's at the door. Oh, nope, you're not the joy of the Lord. Sorry, you can't come in here. Wrong house. There are whole denominations believing for you. Go find them. Do you see what I'm saying, though? There has to be something where eventually the Word of God has to split between what is of Him and what is not of Him. And that's where we find those answers in here. Okay. So, verse 9 says, "Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together." I already read that. Verse 11, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth," which is pretty cool just in itself. "And it was all, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree which... that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was the best." It was the best. It was the best. It was good. It was prosperous. It was pleasant. It was everything we would consider good. Do you ever look at... children starving to death and think, that's good. But yet there are whole sections of the church that teach that God might put some awful thing on you or try and teach you a lesson by that stuff. I'm sorry, I thought God was good. I thought He was the best. He never has an off day. Ever. There is no, you cannot build a foundation for a doctrine out of the scripture that God sometimes will take you out. People say, well, we got Job. Look, have you read James? And have you read through Job? All the way through. First of all, people make the statement, well, you know, he was the most upright man on the earth. On the earth is the key statement there. Upright man on the earth? What does that mean? Does that mean he was sinless? No. And Job also made the statement, what? What I feared came upon me. And if Job was completely innocent, why did he have to repent at the end of the book? Do you have to repent if you didn't do anything wrong? Come on, think. Don't just let it go, because we have to look at it. We have to understand. I'm not saying bad stuff isn't going on in the earth. The scripture is clear that in this life we'll have trouble, but we're to be of good cheer because God has overcome the world. Christ has overcome. So we need to understand that. We need to see that. We need to not just accept what we think we know, but really look at it and go, okay, Lord, show me. Open me up inside. Let me understand this without the filters of my own opinions and religious opinions. I mean, when does it ever stop? As far as some of the false doctrines and different things that go on, it's never going to stop. The enemy's on a roll. He's not going to quit now. But that doesn't mean we have to succumb to it. We can know the truth, and the truth will make us free. Then God said, verse 14, "And then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light to, on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. It was the best. So evening and morning were the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters abound with all abundance of living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves." You know, if God listed them all, Genesis would be a whole lot longer book. But he didn't. He just said, I did it all, guys. I did it all. And it was all good. It was all the best. They weren't like, you know, like birds with, you know, one wing shorter than the other. No, that's the result of sin. It was the best of the best. We have no idea. We literally have no idea. Can you imagine no sin in the earth at all? You can't even imagine it. It'd take the Holy Ghost, like landing on you, to get you to be. I mean, we cannot even fathom what that would be like because we're so conditioned to death. We are so conditioned to death. All right. So he said, all the winged creatures, and verse 22, and God what? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Verse 21, and God saw that it was good. And then God what? Cursed them. God had a bad hair day. God was angry that day. God what? Blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. He blessed his entire creation. This is God's nature right here. We choose whether we live in it or not. That's who God is. Do you know what God is saying over your house? Blessing. Multiplication. People say, I don't want any more kids. Blessing. Multiplication. He wants you to be more. Well, fine. If your quiver is full. Amen. If your quiver is full, the blessing goes to something else in the house. It covers it all. It covers it all. It covers it all. He said, be fruitful and multiply. The blessing, I think I have this word, blessed. It means abundantly. It means to bless greatly. It means to, it talks about praising, but I don't think the Lord was praising his creation necessarily. These are different ways that this word is translated. But it has to do, by implication, it has to do with God looking over his creation and going, be abundant. Or we could say, be the best. You are the best. I made you after me. You are the best. Does that make sense? Okay. Verse 24, then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. It was the best. This is the nature of God. You say, I got it, Shauna, he's good. No, we don't got it yet. We're believing to get it. We may see portions of it, but there are whole portions we don't see. Does God change? He doesn't ever change, which means he's doing what today? The best. He's doing everything he can to get to you the best he can. It is our job to respond. And it is conditional to us because we're going to see it in just a minute. Okay? So he called it the best, then he blessed it and all that good stuff. Okay, Matthew chapter 6. I could go through the rest of them, but there's not enough time. I want to, but I got to end here. Matthew chapter 6. Okay, Matthew chapter 6, verse number 25 says this, therefore I say to you, okay, let me say this. Augustine said this, God is more anxious to bestow his blessing on us than we are to receive them. That's truth. That's truth. See the value that God has placed on you. Believe to come up. Believe to experience the goodness of God. Look to God through the lens of Jesus, through the lens of creation. In other words, when you look at God, don't just think God's distant. He's way out there. No, no, no. He is Jesus, and he is, his desire for you has not changed since Genesis 1. All you need to do is stay away from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You think about it. The world will tell you, and this is something you're going to need to think about, but what did God say about the knowledge of the tree of good and evil? He said what? He said, if you eat of it, you will. And what did Eve say? It looked good for food? No, no, no. God said it was death. But see, the world will present something to you, and it will look good for food, and then you'll eat it, and it's poison. So we just need to go, yeah, that's not God, which means there's no goodness in it and there's death there, so I'm going to go this way. They should have been eating from the tree of life. Wrong tree. So if you have an area of your life where you're going, how come I'm experiencing death? You might be eating from the wrong tree. Make sense? Okay. All right, so verse 25 says this, therefore I say to you, you guys know this, do not worry about your life. Oh, that's a good word. What you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. Look at the creation. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Notice they're not the birds' heavenly Father, they're your heavenly Father. Are you not of more value than they? That is a question you could ask yourself all day long, every day, for about a month, and maybe start to get it. Am I not of much more value than an animal? If God will feed a bird, will he not feed me? Am I not, and not only will he feed me, he will much more feed me. Much more. I love that. I love that statement. Every word in here has significance. Verse 27 says, which of you by worrying can add a cubit to his stature? If you're trying to get taller, stop worrying. Because it's not working. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Now look at this. They neither toil nor spin. Are they working for it? Are the lilies of the field working for their clothing? No. And yet I say to you that even who? Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these? Solomon was a rich dude. He was so rich, the Bible says, that silver was just like, whatever. They had so much gold that silver was like, eh. We'll just use that for something else. Yeah, throw the pennies on the ground. He was so wealthy, and yet God is comparing his heart to you and saying, look, I want to clothe you better than Solomon. See, people don't connect that. They don't connect the dots there. They think, oh yeah, okay, the lilies of the field. But they don't connect the fact that what God is saying here is, I want to clothe you better than those lilies look. I want to clothe you better than Solomon. Come on and think. Look at it in verse 29. It says, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God, now think about the two examples Jesus just gave. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. In other words, a fire comes and burns up the lilies, okay? Will he what? Will he not what? Much more what? Clothe you. And then what does Jesus say right after that? Oh, you of little faith. What stops a much more clothing line from coming to you? Little faith. See, what we automatically turn to is, well, the clothing budget is, but I only make so much an hour. Oh, okay. And you know what God does? When you separate him from as your source, in other words, you're looking at what you can do rather than looking to him, this is what happens. You end up with little faith. And you don't end up with much more. You end up with what you can come up with, which, let's be honest, you didn't create the planet. God did, and he created it with what? The best. Oh, I see it. It doesn't mean I'm walking in all of it, but I see it. There's a start. I see light. I got to walk towards that. And the enemy is going to do everything he can to keep. And people think, well, what do you need all that for? Well, for one, if I'm blessed, I'm blessing somebody. But the other side of it is this. God doesn't look at you and go, what do they have over at Goodwill that I could put them in? Come on, don't bend on me right now. Hang with me. God looks at you and says, I gave Jesus. What is the rest of this stuff? Here. I know what you're going to do with it. You're going to experience my love, and then you're going to look at somebody else after you've experienced that love and go, I can do this for them because my Father does it for me. Does that give you a little more perspective on what he's thinking? It's not just that God wants you to go home and clear out your closet today. We want you to have clothes. Okay? And be thankful and grateful for what you have. But don't just think in terms of where you're at. Think in terms of where God wants you and is. You can never do more than what you have right now. And the only way to get more, in other words, the only way to experience more of God, is just the same scripture that Tessa was reading during worship, is to reach out in faith and say, Lord, you're good, you're good, you're the best. I receive it. Does that make sense? Okay. I love these verses. Verse 31, therefore do not worry, saying, so don't voice your worries. What shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Don't say that. That's what he's saying. Stop saying that. Say, God's going to feed us, God's going to clothe us, and God's going to give us something good to drink. Amen? For all these things the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He already knows. But seek first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what will be added to you? All these things, apparently, food like the birds eat. You need a bird seed. No. God's going to bless you with more than enough food for you. He's going to bless you with more than enough clothing, apparently, like Solomon had, or better. Now, your mind is going to go, nah, I don't know if I believe that. But you got to shut your mind off and go, no, Lord, this is what you said. I believe it. Faith is not of the head, it's of the heart. Faith is of the heart. You didn't receive Jesus in your head. Lord, I receive you into my mind. No, into your heart, inside you. And then renew your mind, exactly. And that's what the word does. It washes you. So what you have to do then is decide, is this right or what I always thought? Does that make sense? There has to be, at some point, we need to come to the place where we go, I'm either going to submit to what his word says, or I'm going to go, no, I already know. I know it's this way. Okay, but how? Chapter and verse. Where's the verses? How do you know? Because if your life is built on anything other than this, storm's coming. And what happens when the storm hits? Bye-bye. If your life is built on your opinion, you are done for. This is why we have a whole bunch of Christians that know they're going to heaven. They're just getting there a whole lot quicker than they should. That'll irritate some people. As far as I can tell, I'm not saying we... Don't take away from this that I'm saying that we won't have problems in this earth. I know we will, but we are to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And that is entirely up to our decision in faith. What are we going to do with what we heard? We choose. We decide. People say, well, I just don't know if I can live for the Lord. Oh, yeah, you can. God does not have a shortness of power. He doesn't have a short arm. He doesn't have a short power arm, you know? He can't reach. I can't help Mike. No. If God wanted to, he could pick Mike up and throw him up and down. He's got plenty of power. We have to access it by faith, just like you did when you got born again. It's the same exact principle. I'm telling you, Joel, good things coming for you. Because all that he has is yours. All God's doing is going, oh, yeah, we got to take that wrong thought out and that wrong thought out and the chains of darkness in this area out, because inside of them is my glory, and we're going to allow that to come forth as faith is released. Faith reaches into the invisible and brings it to the visible. I'll share this testimony with you. When Heidi was pregnant with Kylie, she was about, I want to say 6 or 7 months, maybe along. And Heidi went to the doctor one day. And the doctor said, you know, because they do the whatever week checkup. I don't know. Anyway, they measure and put jelly on their stomach and... Not the kind of jelly you put on toast, though. It's a different kind of jelly. And then they look at the kid, and the kid's in there going, woo! Pretty soon this swimming time's over, you know? Anyway, so her water levels were half of what they were supposed to be. Well, you know, that if a child is not engulfed in the womb, they don't breathe like we do. You know, there's still fish in there. So... anyway, I don't understand all of it, but they can't breathe. I'm not a doctor. So, as you can tell. So anyway, she called me. And she said, the doctor said that my fluid levels are at 8, and they're supposed to be at 16. And I think I was working with you that day. Because me and Terry, we were both working for Terry at the time. And I talked to you about it, I think maybe after I got the phone call. So what I did was, I got off the phone with her. I felt like, have you ever felt like the blood drains out of your face and, you know, you get that feeling of like everything's about to fall apart? I'm going to, you know, every thought in the world's coming to me. Your kid's dead. I mean, that's the thoughts that are coming. I mean, let's be realistic. And fear is just trying to wrap itself around me. It's trying to hang out. And I knew enough about faith to know, no, we're not going this route. See, we had had a, Heidi had had a, it wasn't a miscarriage because there was no baby there. The womb formed, but there was no child inside. I don't know what you call that. But anyway, so she had to have that taken out and, you know, all that stuff. Well, that happened once. Well, the enemy, of course, he's coming back the second time. She had the exact same symptoms when she was pregnant with Kylie as she did the first time when there was no baby in the womb. That happened twice to me. It happened with Ian, too. And I had just got done preaching summer camp, and Ian's 5 now, by the way. But I just got done preaching summer camp. I'm driving home on the way, and Heidi calls me and says, I'm having the same symptoms as before, which was some spotting and stuff. And I said, and I didn't say anything. I said, that's okay. We're going to believe God. Anyway, so let me go back to my first story. So anyway, I said, okay, we're going to believe God. God's faithful to his word. He's not going to allow the enemy to steal from us. As long as we do our part, God will do his part. So I hung up the phone with her and I went downstairs, and the Bible says, brethren, count it all joy. Now, I did not feel like counting it joy at all. So I went downstairs on a job where there are other guys, but I just went downstairs and just whispered. I didn't even yell, but I started jumping up and down in the basement of this job. I'm at work. And I was saying, glory to God, glory to God. But I was whispering it, you know. I said, Father, I know you're good. I bind you, devil, in Jesus' name. You're not going to steal my kid from me. And I just kind of went on for a couple of minutes, and then I went back to work. And then every so many minutes, I'd have to say, nope, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I had to do that for a week. She went back into the doctor a week later because they were going to check on her. The baby was fine at that point. They wanted to check on her again because, you know, they're concerned. And the doctor goes, what? And Heidi's like, what? She goes, your fluid levels have doubled. Doubled? She went from an 8 to a 16. I think that's right. It was either an 8 to a 16 or a 4. It doubled, okay? It went by 2. I don't understand fluid levels. So, thank you. So it doubled. How? We gave him access. He looked at it and said, the best. Holy Ghost hose. Poof, crank that baby on. Fill it up. I don't know how. I just get to enjoy the how. Once it's done. So if he can do that, why can't he clothe you? Yeah, pay him all. As long as you're faithful to do your part, God will open the windows of heaven over you. The same thing happened with Ian. Only there wasn't any fluid issues or anything like that, but she had the spotting. The next day I was in church, and during worship, and I had thought about it a little bit. I have already gone through this once, so I know how to whoop him. You know what I mean? I mean, whoop him good. Just smack the devil in the head with the word. And you don't feel like it's working, but he in the spirit is going, ow, stop it, ow, you know? And pretty soon he goes, we got to go, boys. He ain't letting go of that sword. So with Ian, it was the same thing. The next day we were in church, I was sitting there, and we're worshiping, and then we're done, and the message is going on, and I'm not really listening to the message. I know you'd never do that, but I wasn't really listening to the message, and the Holy Ghost just spoke up, and I just saw it inside me, and I wrote on a piece of paper, I see a healthy baby boy in 9 months, or a healthy child, I think is what I put in 9 months, and I handed it over to Heidi. It's still in my notebook, and I have Ian, and he's healthy. He's got pizzazz and zip. I think hanging out with the Hill Boys has increased the zip by maybe just a little bit more, which is good for him. But you understand, God is good. Don't worry about it. Believe him. The definition of worry is literally to pull in two directions. In other words, if you're worrying, you're not thinking about God. You got something going, trying to pull you off. You have authority over your mind. You can think about whatever you want to. People say, I can't control my mind. Don't say that. You have a power. You have love. What is it? You have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a
sound
mind. People say, well, what if we don't eat? The birds would have a better chance of starving than you not eating. God can drop pheasant out of heaven over your house. Lord, we want meat. We're having pheasant tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, thank you for helping us, Lord. Thank you for instilling faith in us. Lord, we don't just want to hear your words and just have a good service in the sense of just having a good. We want this to change our lives. Lord, we purpose to allow these words to govern what we think, what we say, and what we do. Lord, you're changing us. You're transforming the way we think. We're so thankful for it. We believe it. We receive your promises and your words to us. And we'll stand on your word and resist the devil in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.